Let's turn now from the New Testament back to God's Word in the Old Testament Scriptures and to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 1 and continue through to the end of the chapter. Once again, let us attend now to the word of our God. In the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the exiles by the Kabar canal, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiachin, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest, son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the Kabar canal, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. As I looked, behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, and a great cloud with brightness around it, and fire flashing forth continually, and in the midst of the fire, as it were, gleaming metal. And from the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had a human likeness, but each had four faces, and each of them had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had human hands, and the four had their faces and their wings thus. Their wings touched one another. Each one of them went straight forward without turning as they went. As for the likeness of their faces, each had a human face. The four had the face of a lion on the right side, the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and the four had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces, and their wings were spread out above. Each creature had two wings, each of which touched the wing of another, while two covered their bodies. And each went straight forward. Wherever the spirit would go, they went, without turning as they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches moving to and fro among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures darted to and fro like the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, as I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the earth beside the living creatures, one for each of the four of them. As for the appearance of the wheels and their construction, their appearance was like the gleaming of beryl, and the four had the same likeness, their appearance and construction being, as it were, a wheel within a wheel. When they went in any of their four directions, without turning as they went, and their rims were tall and awesome, and the rims of all four were full of eyes all around. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures rose from the earth, the wheels rose. Wherever the spirit wanted to go, they went, and the wheels rose along with them. For the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those rose from the earth, the wheels rose along with them. For the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Over the heads of the living creatures, there was the likeness of an expanse, shining like awe-inspiring crystal, spread out above their heads. And under the expanse, their wings were stretched out straight, one toward another. And each creature had two wings covering its body. And when they went, I heard the sound of their wings, like the sound of many waters, like the sound of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army. When they stood still, they let down their wings. And there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads. When they stood still, they let down their wings. And above the expanse over their heads, there was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like sapphire. And seated above the likeness of a throne was a likeness with a human appearance. And upward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, gleaming metal, like the appearance of fire enclosed all around. And downward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire. And there was brightness around him, like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness all around. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard the voice of one speaking. Let's pray together. Our glorious and almighty God, we pray now that the Spirit would be at work in our hearts. But Father, these would not be simply words on a page, but that by the work of the Holy Spirit, you would cause us to see in your word the glory of the Lord. That you would fix our gaze on the glory of the exalted Lord Jesus Christ. That you would shine into our hearts to give us the knowledge of your glory, even in the face of Jesus Christ. That you would illuminate these words to our hearts, that we would embrace the Lord Jesus and stand in awe of him and worship him and cling ever more tightly to him. We pray this in his name and for his glory. Amen. In our last sermon on Ezekiel chapter 1, we talked about how this chapter comes to us as a direct challenge to the idolatrous tendencies of our sinful natures. This chapter comes to us as a call to take up the hammer and to smash all of the small man-like ideas we have of the one true and living God. God's people at this time are in exile in Babylon because they succumbed to their idolatrous hearts. They had cast away Yahweh, the Lord of the covenant. They had exchanged the Creator for the creature. They had come to worship their pet idols who would obey their commands and approve of their sin. And so the Lord reveals himself to Ezekiel and to the people of Israel and to all of us this evening. He reveals himself to impress upon us who he is. He is the I am that I am, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in glory, in holiness, and in majesty. He is the everlasting God, and there is no other. And all of the details of this glorious and mysterious vision point to this end and work to this end, that the people of God would abandon their foolishness and once again humble themselves before the everlasting glory of Yahweh, the one true and living God. And as long as we have the flesh, this idolatry remains the sinful tendency of that flesh that yet dwells within us. The tendency to think small, man-like thoughts of God, to begin to think of Him according to our own sinful, idolatrous notions, and not according to the glorious perfections that He has revealed to us in His Word. And as our thoughts of Him grow smaller and smaller, so too our love for Him, and our reverence and fear of Him, all these too will likewise grow smaller and smaller. But all over the Bible we meet with this vigorously active living God who delights to shatter all of our small thoughts of Him, and to do so with revelations of His transcendent glory and His majestic holiness. And certainly one of those places is right here in Ezekiel chapter 1, as the Lord comes to Ezekiel with this glorious, with this mysterious, with this transcendent vision of His glory. And this vision begins there in verse 4 with a stormy wind and a great cloud out of the north, and ends verse 28 with a rainbow. Not unlike many of those late afternoon summer monsoon thunderstorms that we know and love here in Colorado. But for Ezekiel, it doesn't take more than a moment for him to realize that this is no ordinary storm that he was witnessing. There's brightness around it, and fire flashing forth continually. And in the midst of the fire, he tells us, as it were, gleaming metal. Ezekiel comes to realize that what he is beholding is a supernatural exhibition of God's glory. What theologians call a theophany. God had opened the heavens and pulled back the veil of time and space, and Ezekiel was now witnessing a powerful manifestation of the glory of the Lord. And as Ezekiel takes in this overwhelming audio-visual experience and tries to describe it then for us, he works his way through his description from low to high, coming to the one seated on the throne only at the very end of his description. So we will follow along with Ezekiel as best we can and come now to verses 5 through 14 and to the four living creatures. We learn from Ezekiel chapter 10 that these so-called living creatures are cherubim. And cherubim are angels. Perhaps you've seen depictions of cherubim before in Western art. They're those cute little chubby babies with garlands of flowers strumming away on their miniature harps. Not quite the biblical description of these beings. Ezekiel describes them as having a human likeness, verse 5, and yet having four faces and four wings, verse 6, with straight legs and feet like that of a calf. And so in total, there are four living creatures, 16 faces and 16 wings among them, with their wings touching one another, stretched out. Now, these creatures certainly seem very odd to us, but remember that our Old Covenant brothers and sisters would have been much more generally familiar with their appearance. There were cherubim on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. There were cherubim on the curtains and the veil of the tabernacle. And there are also cherubim on the walls of the temple. Going all the way back to Eden, remember that it was two cherubim who guarded the way back to the tree of life after Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden. In other words, when God's glory is at stake, there are cherubim around. When God's glory is at stake, there are cherubim there attending to that glory. The garden, the ark, the tabernacle, the temple, and climactically, remember from our reading in Revelation chapter 4, the heavenly temple as well. Whenever God uniquely places His glory upon a place, the cherubim are there attending to that glory. And one of the amazing things in Ezekiel's vision about these living creatures, these cherubim, is their movement. Verse 9, each of them went straight forward without turning as they went. And then verse 14, the living creatures darted to and fro like the appearance of a flash of lightning. With their four faces, they can see in any direction and they can move effortlessly. And Ezekiel tells us they can span distances in a seemingly instantaneous manner. And at this point in the vision, verses 15 through 21, Ezekiel turns his attention now to these four great wheels that are beside each of the four living creatures. And like everything else in this vision, their appearance was bright and gleaming. And like the four living creatures, they were capable of this same multi-directional movement. And in verse 16, Ezekiel tells us that their appearance and construction being, as it were, a wheel within a wheel. Whatever the engineering of these wheels entailed, they were able to move with the same speed and fluidity of the four living creatures. And before we move on, I want us to carefully notice in these verses the role of the Holy Spirit in the movement of this awe-inspiring spiritual edifice. Verse 12, each went straight forward. Wherever the Spirit would go, they went without turning as they went. And a shame on your Bible translation if it does not capitalize Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit, glorious and almighty God. We read in verses 20 and 21, likewise, wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went, and the wheels rose along with them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. So you have these four living creatures with a total of 16 wings, and you have these four tall and awesome wheels, but the remarkable thing about this vision is that the actual locomotion of this great spiritual edifice doesn't come from the living creatures or from the wheels, but from the Spirit of God. The Spirit is in the creatures, and the Spirit is likewise in the wheels. And the point is repeated for emphasis. Wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went. Wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went. God is revealing to Ezekiel and to His ancient church, and He's revealing to us, His contemporary church, His absolute sovereign freedom, His absolute independence as the living God, His infinite and illimitable energy and mobility and life. The creatures are called living precisely because it is the Spirit that animates them and gives them life. All life and all movement in this vision comes from the direct sovereign agency of God, the Holy Spirit. Which brings us then to verse 22. Ezekiel lifts his gaze higher and sees above the heads of the living creatures the likeness of an expanse, shining like awe-inspiring crystal. And then in verse 26, above even the expanse, there's yet another level, the likeness of a throne in appearance like sapphire. And so we begin to have an aggregate picture of what Ezekiel is seeing. Four multi-directional wheels, four living creatures as pedestals holding up this crystal expanse upon which is a throne with the appearance of sapphire. What Ezekiel is seeing is a vast chariot throne. A vast chariot upon which the very throne of God is located. And then in verse 24, Ezekiel describes the great tumult that the wings of the living creatures make as this vast chariot throne moves about in the power of the Holy Spirit. But then something happens at the end of verse 24. They stand still and let down their wings. And we discover why in verse 25. There came a voice from above the expanse over their heads. And then again, verse 25, when they stood still, they let down their wings. Now we don't find out what the voice says until chapter 2. But here at the end of chapter 1, Ezekiel's gaze is drawn yet higher still by that voice. He is drawn to the throne that is above the crystal expanse, and he then describes for us what he sees on the throne. Read with me now, beginning there at the end of verse 26. Seated above the likeness of a throne was a likeness with a human appearance. And upward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, gleaming metal, like the appearance of fire enclosed all around. And downward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire. And there was brightness around him, like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness all around. And in a wonderfully climactic and dramatic fashion, it isn't until the very end of Ezekiel's vision that he reveals the identity of the one that he saw seated upon the throne. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And do you see how circumspect Ezekiel has been? One of the central key words in Ezekiel's vision is likeness, appearance, the likeness of an expanse, likeness of a throne, likeness with a human appearance, the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. You see, Ezekiel is seeing what he's seeing, and he knows that this is a vision from God, of God himself. But he can hardly believe his eyes, and he can hardly put together words to describe his experience. And then if he wasn't utterly confounded enough, here is the Lord seated upon his throne with a human appearance. Ezekiel knows that God is spirit, that he has no physical body. Ezekiel intimately knows and reveres the second commandment. He knows that God has strictly forbidden man to represent him with human likeness or with any likeness of anything. And yet, here is God revealing himself to the prophet in human form, in human likeness. And so Ezekiel is very careful in his description. In a linguistic manner, he is taking off his sandals because he sees this to be holy ground. And he describes what he saw as a likeness with a human appearance and as the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Doesn't know quite what to think or how to respond to the exceeding glory and mystery of it all. But you've heard the passages this evening. We've read from the Gospels and from Paul and from John. This is Jesus. Ezekiel chapter 1 is a prelude to that great mystery of godliness. God manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels. Ezekiel chapter 1 is a prelude to the fullness of time when God would send forth His Son. When we would, with unveiled face, behold the glory of the Lord. When God would shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, even in the face of Jesus Christ. The Apostle John's vision of the exalted Christ in Revelation is so uniquely parallel to Ezekiel's vision that there is no room for doubt. The images of fire, the metallic gleaming, the roar of many waters, the lightning and the thunder, John's vision leaves us with no question. This is Jesus in His pre-incarnate glory. Just as the Apostle John saw the glory of the resurrected, exalted Christ in his exile on the Roman prison island of Patmos, so also Ezekiel, exiled in Babylon, was given this vision of the Son of God in His pre-incarnate glory, a prophetic vision of the mystery of godliness. This is Jesus, the eternal Son, giving His people a foretaste of things yet to come. I am coming. I am coming to My people. Be ready for Me. Ezekiel receives a preview of the exceedingly surpassing glory of Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, resurrected from the dead, ascended into heaven, exalted at the right hand of God, and reigning over every square inch of the universe. There are so many things in this passage that we have to learn and to embrace about our Lord Jesus. He is holy, and the cherubim are His attendants. He is full of life, and the Father has given Him the Spirit without measure, that He might pour out that blessed Spirit on those who trust in Him. His sovereign lordship is universal, evidenced by that image of the chariot throne, the static symbol of a throne, combined with the inexhaustible energy and movement of this vast chariot. There is nowhere that Jesus' lordship does not extend, no corner of the earth too remote that He does not rule there and reign there. He is terrible in judgment. The intense, all-consuming, never-ceasing fire of this vision teaches us that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. John the Baptist says of Jesus, He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in His hand, and He will clear His threshing floor and gather His wheat into the barn, but the chaff He will burn with unquenchable fire. One way or the other, Jesus is consuming fire. In the lives of believers, He consumes the flesh and purifies the soul by the work of His Spirit. In the lives of the unrepentant, He will forever consume body and soul in the eternal destruction of the second death. But in addition to all of this, Ezekiel chapter 1 shows us Jesus as being also the Lord of the covenant who draws near to His people. There is a glorious juxtaposition in our text of awesome transcendence on the one hand, and yet gracious imminence on the other. Yes, His awesome, nigh unbearable transcendence as eternal Son of God, the unapproachable light of His dwelling, but also His tender mercy and regard for His people, His intense interest in them, and His nearness to them in the covenant of grace. I remember the appearance of the rainbow at the end of this vision. The rainbow appears here at the end of this vision as an eternal flag of covenant peace. If you turn to me, will I not turn this great chariot throne against your enemies and consume them? And will I not mightily save you with an eternal and an everlasting salvation? That is the message of this rainbow, that flag of eternal covenant peace that flies on the throne of our Savior. Yes, Jesus is wrath and vengeance to the unrepentant, but He is steadfast love and unfailing faithfulness to the penitent. Well, as we close, think with me how the Israelites must have been tempted to think about their exile. Well, our God has lost. Marduk, the god of the Babylonians, has won. Here we are, rotting in exile. Yahweh must have been defeated. And so what does the Lord do? Well, He comes to Ezekiel with this glorious vision in order to say to His people, to borrow a phrase from Paul, may it never be. I alone am God, and there is no other. I am still seated upon my chariot throne, and all the gods of the earth are mere idols. And in this sense, Ezekiel chapter 1 is so abundantly relevant to our present Christian experience. We too, as we saw when we first started looking at this chapter, we too are in exile. We too are pilgrims in a land that is not our home. And from a human perspective, what does the situation often look like to the eyes of the flesh? Well, often it looks like Marduk has won. Often it looks like the gods of the earth are triumphing over the church, perhaps even over our own hearts. Do you ever feel that way? Lord, where are you? It feels as though you have utterly withdrawn and left me to my enemies. Well, in these moments, we need Ezekiel's vision of the glory of the Son of God. We need John's vision of the glory of the resurrected and glorified Christ, that the Lord Jesus might come to us and say in His glory, may it never be. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. When life threatens to push us to the brink, we need this transcendent vision of the glory of the incarnate Son of God, that Jesus is even now seated upon His chariot throne, that He is even now reigning over all flesh and all power and all rule and all authority for the sake of His church. And when you trust in Him, He will exercise all of His power and might and vigor to save you to the uttermost. The Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, is the I Am that I Am. Yahweh incarnate, the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable God. True deity and true humanity united in one person forever. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of Ezekiel chapter 1. And as you trust in His name, He is for you and not against you. He is for you and not against you. He lays His right hand on you and says, as He said to John, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades." Praise be to God that He has shown into our hearts to give to us, even to us, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And praise be to our God that Jesus is coming again. He will return in the glory of His Father. He will return on His chariot throne. He will gather us from the four winds. And He will bring us home to Himself. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise You that for thousands of years You have been feeding the souls of Your people on the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise You, Father, that the fullness of time has come, that You have sent forth Your Son, that You have shown in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We praise You, Father, for the surpassing glory of our Savior. May we fix our eyes upon Him. May You feed our souls on that glory, that we might be strengthened in our weakness by His strength and His might, His eternal glory, His love for us as His people. Fix our eyes upon this glorious Savior, Father, until that day when we will see Him with the eyes of our resurrected bodies, when He will come again in His chariot throne to bring us to Himself and to usher us into the unending glory of the new heavens and the new earth. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.